Blog Talk Radio.
I've got a rocket in my pocket and a roll in my wall. Oh, baby, don't fuss me with a North 40 tone. There ain't nothing you can tell me I don't already know. I got a rocket in my pocket and I'm ready to go. Let's go someplace so we can rock a bit. I got a rocket in my pocket and the fuse is lit.
James Bostic, a conservative perspective, here, leaning back out of the microphone, and now back into the microphone. Patriot Nation Radio here on Blog Talk Radio. We do it live twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then we have a recorded incarnation of the program that goes out on the Mojo 5.0 Radio Network, mojo50.com. If you aren't listening, you should be. Because it's some of the very best in libertarian and conservative talk radio, just like the top flight programming you get right here on Patriot Nation. Now, later on this evening, around the 8 o'clock hour, the handsome one, El Guapo, will be here this evening. That's right, Mark Hoffman and Patriot Nation Radio Live. He's going to be offering his take on the news and views of the day this evening. And every other Monday, knocking it out of the park, Gary Binford and United Patriots Uprising this Monday. Slam bang, baby. Let me tell you what's going on with that. He's going to be going into the weeds. He's going to be unpacking a lot of hot button topics like gun rights, border security, the defense of the Constitution. He's going to have Jan Morgan, national conservative commentator, gun rights activist, journalist, 2022 Republican Party U.S. Senate candidate in Arkansas, Deontay Johnson, founder and president of Black Conservative Federation, Kathy Barnett, conservative political commentator, 2022 Republican Party U.S. Senate candidate in Pennsylvania, and, of course, the Brooklyn Tommy Gun, John DeLemme, author, public speaker, founder of Conservative Business Journal's podcast. First and third Monday nights, monthly, Patriot Nation Radio Network, 2 hours of outstanding guest-driven conservative-based talk radio. And we got it coming up this Monday. You don't want to miss it. Kerry Binford, United Patriots Uprising. Donald Trump decides the country after 8 years of Obama is going to hell in a handbag, and he's decided after a lot, a lot of heartache, a lot of searching within his soul, a lot of talking with family, a lot of thinking, I'm sure. This was not something he was entered into lightly. He decided to run for president. And coming down the golden escalator, that day was the last day that Donald Trump was loved by all these people who now hate him. Yes, yes, yes. All these people that now hate him, the LGBT BBQers who, you know, claim that he's a homophobe, they loved him. Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, Arnell Church, all these guys. That's a trivia question for you. Who was Arnell Church? And all these, you know, these people that call him a racist now, they loved him. They couldn't wait to be have a picture taken with Donald Trump. They loved him. All the feminazis out there, all the NAGs, National Association of Gals, all the women's libbers, they loved him. All these people that hate, everybody that hates him now loved him then. Then he decided to run for president, and when they realized that this outsider who could not be bought had to be taken seriously because he was an existential threat to their livelihoods, to their power. And they pooped themselves collectively. Figuratively. Now, of course, some of, who knows, maybe some of them did literally. Who knows? Nancy Pelosi's getting along in years. So it's just a Joe Biden, too. Actually, I don't know how true it is, but it was one of the stories circulating. You know, we know that Joe is struggling with cognitive decline. I'll get back to this other stuff here in a minute. We know that Joe is struggling with cognitive decline. There's no question about it. Bless his heart, crazy ass Uncle Joe. And towards the end of the campaign, as they were, you know, building up to the presidential debates, some of the staffers were worried about the possibility. Because of all this cocktail of cognitive enhancing drugs that they undoubtedly have him on, the problem with some of these cognitive enhancers is that well they make you incontinent. They make that urge to go to the bathroom even stronger. And so they're thinking, how, you know, we don't think he can make 90 minutes. And really, if you look at it, it's not 90 minutes. It's more like 2 hours, 2.5 hours, because there's always glad handing. There's always flesh pressing. There's all that stuff. And he can't stay out of the bathroom that long. If he does, he's going to have an accident. So what they started talking about was what kind of protective undergarment can Joe wear where the plastic wouldn't be picked up by the microphones as he walked around. So anyway, back to what I was. Yeah, it's a pretty cool story, even if it isn't true. It might not be true. I don't know, but it's definitely cool. So all these people start hating on Donald Trump. Again, as I said, he's an outsider. He can't be bought. He proves to be this existential threat to their livelihoods. So out come the long knives, the establishment types, the embedded types, right and left. They circle the wagons. And when it started looking for real, like this guy had a chance of winning, they turned around and looked at each other and went, "Oh no, no, we gotta work on this." And the rest we all know. So every time there was some kind of crazy thing that was said, Donald Trump would do what? Fake news. Fake news. CNN is fake news. We all know it to be true. They're fakes. Nothing they say is true. It's all lies. Fake news. And, of course, the press, particularly CNN, you know, Jim Acosta and those clowns, they sit up straight and clutch at their pearls, and they're shocked and appalled that this upstart, this out-of-towner, this real estate salesman has the stones to say out loud what we all know to be true. And he did. And the rest of the media, likewise, because most of those guys hated Donald Trump anyway. They circled the wagons with CNN, as I said. And what do? They start piling on. How dare he? Well, once again, turns out he was right. We've got a couple clips I'm going to play for here. Let me get them up. James O'Keefe with Project Veritas has done some magnificent work. Where is that? Well, CNN. So it'd be C, and then the next letter would be N, right? Because it's CNN. But we're only going with the first N. We don't need to go to the second N. We just need the first N. We're good. Where the hell? Okay, there we are. All right, a couple kind of long clips, but that's okay. We're going to go through it anyhow. What they do basically, and you know how James O'Keefe at Project Veritas works. He's been in the business a long time. He does a lot of undercover work. He does a lot of stuff, behind the scenes, kind of stealth stuff. And he's done it again with this undercover video of CNN executives admitting that their goal was to boost Joe Biden and eliminate Trump in the 2020 election. Additionally, CNN technical director Charlie Chester admits that the network is engaged in propaganda to advance the COVID narrative, which is quite a remarkable bit of undercover expose by Project Veritas. We got the clips. We're going to play them. Let's see, where are we at? Yeah, we'll see where we go. Anyway, here's the first one. CNN admitting what we've all known all along, propaganda. Fake news. It's not real news. It's fake. It's fake news. CNN. Fake news. You're fake news, John.
I think we got him through the term. We would always show shots of him jogging. Him in aviator shades and like you paint him as a young geriatric.
We were creating a story there that we didn't know anything about. That's
I think that's probably it. Look what we did. We got Trump out. I am 100% convinced. And I have to believe it, that if it wasn't for CNN, I don't know that Trump would have gotten voted out.
Our focus was to get Trump out of office, right? Without saying it, that's what it was, right? So our next thing is going to be for climate change awareness.
Do you think it's going to be just like a lot of like fear, like climate?
Yeah, fear sells. Fear sells.
No one ever says it, those things out loud, but it's obvious.
What is it you do?
Technical director, one step down from director.
It's going to be our focus. Our focus was to get Trump out of office. Without saying it, that's what it was.
Trump was hand was shaking or whatever, and he was losing it. He's unfit.
Can you believe
these
guys?
I think that's probably it.
Seriously.
So I'm standing here at 30 Hudson Yards. Warner Media is in right there. That's CNN's corporate headquarters. We're in New York City. Jim Sciutto just walked out. Funny enough, I asked him about the videos we have just obtained of a CNN director, Charlie Chester, on tape.
Chester
for years.
Cheese.
We've heard that CNN is the most trusted name in news, but a CNN director
Chuck
is
E.
on tape telling us that they're propaganda, helping a certain political candidate, employees admitting what we've always known to be true. This time, it's on tape.
Look what we did. We got Trump out. I am 100% convinced, and I 100% believe it, that if it wasn't for CNN, I don't know that Trump would have gotten voted out. I really don't think so.
Really? I think if COVID hadn't happened, it wouldn't have mattered what was covered, and Trump would still be in office.
I came to CNN because I wanted to be a part of that.
So Chester says that CNN is responsible for getting Trump out of office and helping Biden through his term. Listen to this tape. Chester and Hoffman believe CNN managed to get Trump out of office, their words, and Chester calls CNN propaganda.
Yeah, I mean, like, Trump, we did it. Like, when Trump was his hand was shaking or whatever, like that, we brought in, like, so many medical people to, like, all tell a story that, like, it was all speculation. That he was, like, neurological damage, like, that he was losing it, he's unfit to, you know, whatever. We were creating a story there that we didn't know anything about, you know, we were... I think that's propaganda, you know? We had nothing else to run with at that time. We were, like, just taking shots off the bow, just hoping something would hit, you know?
I guess I have a confession. I worry about Biden and his health, I guess.
Your news health?
What? I said Biden, our president. Like, I just want to take care of him and make sure he's okay. Like,
he's definitely, the whole thing of him running during the entire press, like, run for the campaign, showing him jogging was obviously a deflection of his age, and they're trying to make him, like, unhealthy.
Is that what we did? I don't know. Like, what do you mean?
We would always show shots of him jogging.
Yeah.
And that I'm healthy, you know, blah, blah, blah. And him in aviator shades and, like you paint him as a young geriatric. I like so many arguments about like my dad be like, you're voting in Kamala Harris because he's gonna die during the presidency. And I'm like, that's gonna die.
Right. I don't think he's gonna
but
die.
But I'm okay with that.
Right.
I'm okay with that. I think she could probably be a bitch in like a board meeting.
Yeah.
And you'd hate her as a boss. But she's real and better than what we've had,
right.
Regardless.
Yeah.
I don't see... I think we got him through this term.
Even after Biden was sworn in, CNN still seemed to maintain a bias in the reporting, according to Chester.
And then so there are complaints that, like, we're not covering that Biden trip up there.
Oh, did you?
Like, we talked about it briefly, but...
But you talk about that briefly. You don't make that a huge story.
Okay, no, but the fact that we talk about the Trump tripping is a bigger nuance. It's a nuanced conversation because that's a sign.
Did we harp on Trump tripping? I think we talked about it a little bit. As long as we talk about it a little bit with Biden, then I think we're...
But, like, we didn't cover it at all on God.
Chester didn't just take credit for Trump's loss. He also alleges it was CNN's, quote, focus. They were focused on getting Trump out of office. Chester also believes that in the current news
like
cycle,
NBC,
there is,
ABC,
quote,
CBS,
COVID
PBS,
fatigue.
National Public
Chester's
Radio,
saying that CNN
ABC.
Has a game plan to fix that fatigue.
I think there's just like a COVID
fatigue. The New York Times,
so
the
like
Washington Post, the Los
a
Angeles
news story
Times,
comes
Boston
out,
Examiner.
They're going to latch onto it. They've already
the Atlanta
announced in their office that once the public will be open to it, we're going to start focusing mainly on climate like global warming, and like that's going to be our next like
thing.
Just
say the damn word.
It's going to be our focus. God. Like our focus was to get Trump out of office, right? Without saying it, that's what it was, right? So our next thing is going to be for climate change awareness.
What does that look like?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I have a feeling it's just going to be, like, constantly showing videos of, like, decline and
polar bears and...
weather warming up and like the effect it's having on the economy and really diving into it.
Kids crying over snow cones that melt too fast.
Yeah. I imagine that.
Meanwhile, it was 44.
He's got his council, and they've all like discussed like where they think.
So that's like the next.
The next fear-mongering
like,
campaign.
Story, like that will, yeah, that will beat to death. But that one's got longevity. You know what I mean? It's not like there's a definitive ending to the pandemic, or you know, like it'll taper off to a point that it's, you know, not a problem anymore. Probably think it's going to take years, so they'll probably be able to milk that for quite a bit. You know, so
climate change overload. Okay.
Be prepared. It's coming.
Story. Like right now, we had an inside track right now where two stories are going to be pushed. Climate change is going to be the next COVID thing to stand up. We're gonna hone in.
Focus on it.
I love it.
But that's a fair thing to focus
on. But we commit to that as a network.
You said it's going to be like the new COVID.
I feel like, well, that's the way it was built. Unless that was just a call to arms to get people to start writing and then we'll assess it. I don't know, but...
Do you think it's going to be just like a lot of like fear? Like, climate?
Yeah, fear sells.
Jeff Zucker, I think you need to change your motto, the most trusted name in news. Your own employees, your own director is on tape actually telling the American people what we all believe to be true. The question is...
Our focus was to get Trump out of office, right? Without saying it, that's what it was.
Why isn't Charlie Chester willing to say the private part publicly? He'll say it privately, but he insists it's important to conceal it, to hide it from people. And that's the question, Mr. Zucker. Why is it so important to hide the truth of what you're really trying to do from the people?
Yeah. Yeah. Again, like he says, you know, this is, we have known this to be true. We have long since seen the liberal bias in the media. It's nothing new. It's nothing new at all. It's been around for a long time. Within the last 12 years, 16 years, we'll say. I guess you could probably look at it from the beginnings of the media defense of Bill Clinton. And by and large, even though it was outrageous and it was sensational in its time and, you know, scandalous, the media kind of rallied to his defense regardless. And I think that's one point. That's one touchstone. What they did to Richard Nixon with Watergate and its aftermath, yeah, that was probably another big part. And then, you know, going back into the 60s with the protests to the Vietnam War as they moved from the Johnson administration to the Nixon administration. And then the Republicans and the conservatives and Richard Nixon, we all become baby burners and warmongers because – we were honoring treaties that we had entered into with the South Vietnamese people. But it's just all out in the open now. I mean, as far as we're concerned, CNN and these guys, and do you think CNN is any different than NBC, MSNBC? No. ABC, CBS? No, they're not. They're not. They're probably more blatant at it. And the reason for that, and we know more about CNN because, you know, when it comes to that sort of thing, even though they're, you know, it's pervasive throughout CNN, you know, they're pretty feckless and they're pretty inept. So they got caught all the time. Yeah, they got caught all the time. And, you know, it was, and they obviously have no shame. They're not embarrassed by it. And they keep on trucking. They keep on doing what they do. And this, okay, this is, like I said, this is, again, confirming all that we have known, you know, for a long time without having, you know, without needing confirmation. We knew that we knew that we knew, and we were right, and O'Keefe verifies that for us. He confirms it. nothing else is going to happen. This is it. Okay? There's not going to be some gush of righteous indignation where, you know, conservatives all across America jump up and write in to the director of the FCC, like it would do any good, to the director of the FCC saying, you know, we need to do something about this. Nothing's going to happen because the guy at the FCC is watching CNN and cheering for them. They may pay lip service to a little bit of outrage and consternation, but beyond that, nothing's going to happen. Nothing is going to happen. They're not going to lose any money. That overly made up little poofer, Don Lamond, is not going to take a salary cut. They're not going to take a nickel away from him. They're not going to take a moment's airtime away from him. And in spite of this, as just simply the latest in an ongoing cavalcade of selective journalism, of propaganda, of baseless hit pieces, of out-and-out lies that have come from CNN, the same people that sat down last night and listened to their insane commentary, stroking their chin with thumb and forefinger, thoughtfully going, yes. Yes, by God, they're right. Rhodes are racist. Thank God I drive a black car. I mean, this is what... I mean, oh, God. And that's it. That's what frustrates me more than anything else. It's outstanding work. What O'Keefe does and has done from the outset has been, you know, it's just been above and beyond. And he turns this stuff in, and we see it with our own eyes. And we go, well, yeah, that's exactly what I thought. We've been right all along about these lying, thieving, communist bastards. Take a little break. We'll come back with part two. You are listening to what? Conservatives Perspective here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. Oh my gosh, let's see. We got, what did I put in here? We got something good in here. I know we do. And I, by damn, will find it. We do this every week. I know. Okay, we will be back with more of ACP right after this.
She hates my mama. She hates my daddy too. She loves to tell me she hates the things I do. She loves to lie beside me almost every night. Well, she's no lady, she's my wife. The preacher asked her, and she said, I do. The preacher asked me, and she said, yes, he does too. The preacher said, I pronounce you 99 to life. Son, she's no lady, she's your wife. And I can't remember how I met her. Seems like she's always just been a hanging here off my right arm. And I can't remember how I ever thought that I just couldn't live without a woman. Even though she loves the smell of French perfume, and even though she walks around in high-heeled shoes, well, all I know is I'm the one who pays her price. Man, she's no lady, she's my wife. And I can't remember how I met her. Max has always just been a hanging here off my right arm. And I can't remember how I ever thought that I just couldn't live without a woman's charm. Yeah, she hates my mama, she hates my daddy too. She loves to tell me how much she hates the things I do. She loves to lie beside me almost every night. Well, she's no lady, she's my wife. Well, she's no lady, she's my wife. Saturday night, you check the TV guide and pray the black and white can keep you satisfied. Well, she had a yellow hair. She had
Bostic with my buddy Lyle Lovett here on Patriot Nation Radio Network with a conservative's perspective. We do it live Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have a recorded version of the show that goes out Sundays, 4 p.m. on the Mojo 50 Radio Network, Mojo50.com. If you're not listening, well, you should be. Some of the very best of conservative and libertarian talk radio you're going to find out there anywhere, period, except here. Mojo50.com. Not dead air. I'm just sitting here thinking about stuff. I have the other half of this thing, but I don't know that we really need to play it. Number one, you know, we know what these cats, we know, okay? And we've always known. We've always known. Limbaugh told us about it. Hannity told us about it. Savage told us about it. Gordon Liddy. Oh, man, did you guys? I don't know. Some of you may not know who this dude is. I'm getting ready to talk about Gordon Liddy. George Gordon Baffle Liddy. He's a graduate of Fordham University. He's a law school. He's a lawyer, FBI agent. And in the 1970s, he was an Army officer. In the 1970s, he worked for an organization called CREEP. Yeah, C-R-E-E-P. The Committee to Re-elect the President of the United States, Richard Nixon. He was involved in the Watergate burglary. He was sentenced to 3 years, and he didn't go to a country club prison. Gordon didn't. He didn't do that. He spent his entire term in the District of Columbia jail. 1974, 75, 76. 3 long years in the D.C. jail. He wouldn't roll over on anybody. He wouldn't be intimidated. I think I was probably about 20 years old when I read his autobiography, Will. Do yourself a favor, people. You want to talk about somebody who was a strong man physically as well as intellectually and spiritually. Gordon Liddy was your guy. Absolutely. Terrific book, but he passed away. But no, I don't think we'll play that clip. But here's the thing, and this is, and you heard that guy, Chester Cheetah, over there, when he was talking about, you know, they don't, now that they got Biden in, you know, he's nothing to them. He was a commodity. He was a commodity that they could market and that they could sell. And they could generate propaganda for in order to put him in the White House, not for Joe Biden, but for CNN. For CNN's ideology, which is the same as Joe Biden's. Joe Biden rolled up and died tomorrow morning. CNN could care less. Oh, they pay the lip service, and they do the hearts and flowers and all that, but they don't care. He served his purpose. When he took his hand off the Bible, see, I don't have anything to sweat for the next 4 years, maybe 8. I was talking back and forth here a minute ago with one of the producers, Melissa, on the show, and she was talking about the fact that he is a puppet. Yes, he absolutely is. Totally a puppet. And those strings are being pulled by a lot of people. China, for one, but mostly Barack Obama through Susan Rice, for another. They talk on a practically a daily basis, according to Jen Psaki. Obama and Joe talk on a daily basis. And They're not talking about what happened on Dancing with the Stars. So, and I don't think anybody's really surprised when we, you know, someone makes the, you know, extrapolates that this is really, is this a Joe Biden, is this Joe Biden's first term or is this Barack Obama's third term by proxy? So, yeah, really, I mean, and it's a great question. It's a great question. And who is the man behind the curtain pulling the levers on the Biden operation? Well, our pal Sundance over at Conservative Treehouse, again, thinks that it's Barack Obama and his ideologues who now run the DNC. Once upon a time, it was Bill and Hillary Clinton and Terry McAuliffe running the DNC because Bill and Hillary Clinton were the face of the Democrat Party until Obama was elected after their presidency. You know, from the 90s up to 2008, the DNC was a Clinton operation, but not anymore. And in a way, we should look at this as somewhat encouraging because I don't really think that the Obama crew was altogether that smart. Cash for clunkers, shovel-ready jobs, Navy corpsmen. If I had a son, it'd look like Trayvon. Yeah. And the thing is, these people that Joe Biden has burst throughout the various bureaucratic agencies and deputy assistant cabinet positions in his administration were not the cream of the Clinton-O'Biden crop. The people that we have in here now are third and fourth stringers, scrubs. If President Barack Obama had granted America absolution for the sin of slavery in 2009, he would have been nominated for bipartisan political sainthood and the Democrats would have owned the future, but he didn't. Instead, he doubled down on his race card bet. He lost the House in 2010. He lost the Senate in 2014. He could have invented a new politics, joining the lower class of all races and the middle class against the evil white gentry class and the evil Brahmin tech class, but he didn't. Pardon me. So now here we are, 2021, the Obama crew justifying gun control and anti-racism as public health measures, and everything else is infrastructure. Now, you racists and sexists out there, you'll hear the dog whistles. Public health is directed at women who like nothing more than to terrify each other with healthcare horror stories. And infrastructure is an appeal to white males with big trucks. Not that trucks are going to be allowed in our glorious future because roads are racist. I think one of the tells we can pick up from this is that the Obama crew knows, and they should after 8 years, that their agenda sucks. But their polling tells them that public health and infrastructure are good ways to put lipstick on a pig. Okay. What should the Obama crew be doing? Well, according to Christopher Chantrill, his answer came as he was reading Andy Ngo's Unmasked, Inside Antifa's Radical Plan to Destroy Democracy. And Andy wrote that while some are indeed highly educated and in white-collar professions, ranging from law to academia to healthcare, those who are involved in the street violence are disproportionately individuals dealing with housing insecurity, financial instability, and mental health issues like gender dysphoria. Grievance ideologies like Antifa resonate with millennials and Generation Z people because of an economic reality that they experience. Number one, crushing student debt. But you know what? You could have got a job. You knew when you took out these loans, you're going to have to pay them back or default on them and screw up your credit. Job insecurity and the inability to ever afford a home. So any decent politician, should be solving the student debt problem. And that's an easy one. Get rid of guaranteed student loans. Get rid of government loans. When the GSLs came online, colleges rejoiced because they now had the opportunity to charge whatever they had the guts to ask, and nine times out of ten, the government would pay for it. And by God, they did. Look at tuition nowadays. It's the only explanation. The stagnant wage problem, the housing price problem. What do politicians talk about this stuff all the time? Now you tell me. What have the Democrats done lately to help millennials and Generation Z with all this stuff we just talked about, besides encouraging them to protest and riot? What concrete objectives have been achieved in trying to alleviate these pressures on these people? Well, the student debt problem, like I said, came up when colleges discovered that they could raise fees and increase diversity bureaucracy with all the free government money that comes with students. The job insecurity problem comes from importing Brahmins into tech and illegals into everything else. Supply and demand, Democrats, if you flood the job market with illegal or otherwise, native-born Americans suffer. Housing affordability goes all the way back to the New Deal and the Fannie Mae secondary market and long-term mortgages. It was great for the 50s generation that bought suburban homes for $10,000 apiece, but it wasn't so good when the mortgage subsidy had increased prices to $1 million for a nice suburban home. In the remaining months before Democrats make single-family homes illegal, watch out for that. The new zoning laws in the House bill. Why aren't we talking about the utter failure of our college and university system? Why aren't we really hacked off at the ruinous cost of affordable housing? Why aren't black people rioting against the Lyndon Johnson Great Society era programs that truly did put them all back in chains? Now, it can't be just that the programs failed. After all, you can always blame it on Trump. It goes a lot deeper than just that. Government and politics, basically, I think, can't get beyond going to war with a dastardly enemy and then sharing out the loot amongst the supporters. And there's no real war, then it's a fake war against plutocrats or patriarchs or white supremacists, and then sharing out the loot among those supporters that are against these people. How many white supremacists do you know, honest and truly? Because I'm thinking, I know a lot of people. I know a lot of white people. I know some rednecks. I don't know. But, you know, we haven't been, we're barely, you know, 100 days into this first four-year term, and look at what's happened just through executive fiat. And hell, he may still be signing things that we don't know about. I'm still here. It's not dead air. Dude, I cannot be the only white person you know. Come on. Gary Benford, my man, my brother. he just informed me I'm the only white person he knows. I don't believe that. Come on now. Anyway, I guess the biggest question is, because all this stuff we've talked about tonight, and I gotta wrap, I gotta try and tie all this together. Excuse me. I'm gonna have to hit the mute button is what I'm gonna have to do. Pardon me. And we're back. It's kind of like Occam's razor. Sometimes, no matter how complicated the answer may be or how complicated the problem may be, 9 times out of 10, you know, the simplest, most direct answer is usually the correct one. There's no exotic explanation for all this. There's no... They want power. Okay? It's not a mystery. It shouldn't be that tough to figure out. These people are tyrants. They are oppressors. Look at Michigan. Look at what those poor people in Michigan have been through under Gretchen Whitmer. Look at the state of New York under that murdering lying bastard, Andrew Cuomo. We haven't forgot about you, Andy. I forgot about you a bit. I'll be coming back to you. They're elitist. They are entitled. They are self-insistent. And they don't care about freedom. They love power. But there are a couple of things I think that we can take hope from, I suppose, and that is they are ambitious and they are opportunistic and they're power mad, they're drunk with it, they covet more and more of it. The longer they have it, the more they want. It's intoxicating to them just like it would be intoxicating to you or me or anyone else. But they give in to it. They're seduced by it. But if you take a look at most of them, none of them are really altogether that damn smart. Gerald Nadler. Smart? No. Nancy Pelosi. Joe Biden. Barack Obama. Did any of them, look, think of the heads, think of the left-wing heads on CNN or anywhere else. Just think of any of those people. How many times have you looked at them and listened to what they were saying, and they were usually looking into a camera with a straight face, talking some kind of Charles Bad Cavern Bat Guano lunacy with a straight face, and you said to yourself, Jesus, what an idiot. God, I can't believe these people are that stupid. Okay. There you go. He answers your own question. Because you people are not stupid by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, there's been survey and survey and survey about how the folks who listen to talk radio, conservative talk radio in particular, are usually a couple of rungs up on the intellectual ladder as to their peers. So, yeah, you're right. Brian Stelter. I just thought, I don't know why he left the Stray Cats. And gained 40 pounds, lost all his hair and 10 inches. Yeah, he's an idiot. Stelter's an idiot. Rachel Maddow, idiot. Acosta, idiot. I mean, oh, God. Okay, we're down to it. All right, that's all the time we got, guys. ACP Heard here Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Sundays, 4 p.m. on the Mojo 50 Radio Network. We got El Guapo, the handsome one, is here in the house. He is in the hacienda. And we're going to bring him up now as soon as he hangs up his sombrero and sits down at Los Microfonos. Guapo.
What's happening, amigo?
How you doing, man?
Oh, you know, we're hanging in there. It's been rough. It's rough. Things are tough.
Yeah, I know, dude. I know. Yeah, we're just going to keep our head up. We're just going to keep on smiling and pressing on.
You know?
We can't quit. We can't quit. We can't roll over. We can't die. So we just got to keep going.
It's been rough. I'm going to have a quick, brief show tonight because I got to get in there to my wife. She's kind of feeling ill, so I got to take care of the lady and make sure my son has got his things together. So this is going to be a quick show tonight.
All right, then I'm not going to take up any of your precious time, my brother. Take care of that woman. Take care of your boy. Have a terrific show.
All right, my man. Thanks a lot. What's happening, folks? It's Patriot Nation Radio Show. I am here. I am live. And it's been a crazy, crazy, just what's going on with this administration and this country and everything, what's happening. If you're in the live feed, please start sharing it around as quick as possible because I haven't really, I'm behind the eight ball here a little bit, and I just want to have a quick show, talk a little bit about some of the things that are going on here in this mad, 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 mad world. And I think I can do that pretty quickly because everybody knows you're getting beat over the head by the lies and the propaganda from the mainstream media moguls. It's just crazy what we're witnessing in our day and age. I can't believe it. Ladies and gentlemen, in the live feed, Gary Binford, United Patriots Uprising, alternating Mondays here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. I got to turn this thing on. Let's see what we got. So check this out. I got someone that pressed one. I want to pick that up. I'm going to squeeze. Going to do a couple things.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
Yes, indeed, folks. It is the Patriot Nation Radio Show, heard Thursday nights here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network at blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Nation. I'm your host, Mark Hoffman, and this is the Thursday night edition. You just heard James Bostic, a conservative's perspective, heard two nights a week here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern.
Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio, 347-637-3942.
Attention conservatives. Big social media is targeting conservatives like you and me in an effort to silence us and the truth. The free speech social media that you have waited for is here at LibertyRush.com. No longer do you have to be distracted by fake news. Join the war on fake news at LibertyRush.com. The official alternative with no libtard rhetoric. Guaranteed. LibertyRush.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
I never knew about at a funeral or like the last day when an officer has passed, and they actually go and the dispatch will close basically down the radio air for emergency only. And then she will call the badge number, or he will call the badge number from dispatch, and obviously there's never an answer. Brave soul has passed away in the line of duty. Felt like something needed to be done or to recognize that. And that's what the song is about, basically. It's about an officer who's, you know, gone down in the line of duty, and, you know, he's given his all. And, you know, when they do reach out for the last call, he answers back, and these are his words. And one thing a lot of people don't know, I know a lot of cops, you know, in and out of uniform. They are very human, just like you and I. They can pick and choose what laws they uphold, but they have to
I got to make a new ad. That's an old one. It's outplayed. Kenny Conley's joining us in the live feed. Marshall Law's in the live feed. And Mary Kate's in the live feed. Alicia. Andrew Bogart. What's happening? Andrew, Flash from the Past. And Gary Binford. Ladies and gentlemen, the board is open, wide open. At the same time, they want us to close down. Florida is considering no masks voluntary only in schools next school year. That's great news. Governor DeSantis, they try to take it to him, and he slams 60 Minutes, makes them look like fools. And CNN gets the whistle blown on them by their own director, Project Veritas, coming through again. But does anything happen to these clowns? Nothing happens to these clowns. Look at this. We got a good audience going on. Nothing happens to these clowns. They do all this stuff. Governor Cuomo. Homosexual. There he is. Governor Cuomo in New York's got 7-8 allegations against him. Credible allegations. Stood on the steps at the Supreme Court yelling at Judge Kavanaugh, saying that the Me Too movement and all that hoopla as they insurrected at the Supreme Court building, that they don't talk about that. It's just a big deal on January 6th because it had people with Make America Great hats got involved in it. You know? See, my friend Kenny in the live stream says, I'm backwards, but the flag is not. The flag is a double slide you can see through. When you turn it one way, it's backwards. So when I look at the flag in here, it's backwards. But to you, it's forward because I got the camera backwards. But yes, there's just some crazy, crazy things going on. They want to stack the Supreme Court. Jerry Nadler's Nadler and his buddy comes out with some shit about they want to stack the Supreme Court. There's 13 districts. There should be 13 judges. They got to stack the court with four socialist, communist, anti-American, completely partisan judges to kill the Supreme Court and make this place just a mad dictatorship. If you think back to the Hugo Chavez regime, say maybe 2004 or 5 or something, when they did the same type of thing and they stacked their Supreme Court and trashed the whole country, and now look at it. So here's what you got going on here, folks. And guess what? The border's wide open. The midterms are coming, folks. If you know kids that are turning 18 here in the next year or two, start talking to them now. Show them the facts, the stats, and the bullcrap so that they know and understand the truth and they vote correctly. Because it's going to get ugly. Downright horrifying. If we don't stand up now, start speaking out. Make sure you get yourselves straight to your local commissions if you can. If you can make it to the commissioner meetings, you can make it to the school board meetings. Your local government needs you. I implore, there are many great patriots. They're doing great things. Look what they did in the county of Pasco, in the town of Newport Richey. They got elected two awesome patriots to the city council. Yes, my friend Alicia makes a great point there about them. Mad as hell. anything that the last administration did, good or bad or indifferent, this administration is going to undo it just because it was Trump. It's the only reason. It could be creating a million jobs, giving people a great way of life. They'll kill the program, lay off a million people, and destroy the industry just because Trump did it. You mark my words. It's coming. It's happening right before our very eye as we sit here talking. And it's a real shame that this is what's happening. At least when my son looks me in the eye, when I'm on my last breaths, he's going to know I spoke out and I fought and I called and I did things. I didn't just sit back. All right, I don't make it to all the rallies. Showing up at a rally doesn't mean you're not any less of a patriotic American fighting for freedom. It comes in many avenues. Blog talk radio shows, email campaigns, door knocking, letter writing, phone calling, you know, there's so many different things you can do besides stand on a corner with a flag, which is great. I love standing on corners with flags. It's a great feeling to stand there in a group of people that feel the same exact way as you do so that you know in your heart and in your soul you're on the right side of everything because you're not alone. It's a real fight. I wore my 1776 shirt because I felt patriotic in my soul. Yes, Alicia, and the reason that it's happening is those that have sworn to protect the Constitution are also violating their oath, but they're not standing up and protecting the Constitution from what's happening. Those who are in uniform, who have sworn an oath to protect the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic, need to be standing up for the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic. It is obvious that what's taking place right now is the overthrow of our country. They got control. Folks, thank God we have Marjorie Taylor Greene. If you're in Florida, I think the 32nd District, Anthony Sabatini, get him in to be side by side with Marjorie Taylor Greene and a couple of these dozen other fine patriots that are fighting tooth and nail for freedom and liberty. Cuomo, 7 solid allegations, responsible for the death of 15,600 seniors. Matt Gaetz has a couple of loose allegations with no real proof, and they are railing him. The double standard is sickening and demented. That Matt Gaetz is going through this in Cuomo. I predicted this, folks. I don't know if it's going to happen. But I wouldn't doubt if Andrew Cuomo is one of the next candidates for the Democrat Party to run for president. Because he's like their damn hero. He wrote books on leadership and his response to Corona. 15,600 people in their golden years succumbed to a horrible sickness because of his stupid directives. At the same time, sexually assaulting women. 7 credible allegations. Where is the Me Too movement? Where is the Me Too movement? All of a sudden, it's their golden boy, and they are silent. How demented is this? 15,600 one-time payment to illegal aliens will be going out here real soon in New York. 15,600, not 1,560, add a zero. 15,600. So say Jose Gonzalez is in the house. He's got Yolanda Gonzalez living there, his wife. He's got his 2 kids. He's got his brother. He's got his sister. He's got his nephews. They're all in the house. They're all getting $15,600. They all take that money. They buy houses and cars and while you starve. you're in New York and you're taking and you're standing for this and you're not screaming at the top of your lungs, if you're not banging on the door in Albany on the governor's mansion's front door with pitchforks and tar and feathers, I don't know, man. They just, people go, well, there's nothing I can do, so I'm just going to go down here to the beach and have a barbecue and forget about it. I'm not talking about it. I can't. And the border's wide open. Jonathan Riches, look him up. He's down there on the border. Down there, he's taking some great videos. He's showing where the construction has been halted by the administration that is currently presiding at the White House. It's very disheartening what I'm watching as a people hate America so much they're taking it down. They're using an old, senile, cognitively declining, elderly man as their puppet, as their talking head, as the rest of the nation laughs at us. The man is not without his wife or Kamala Harris at any time. We know that Joe, kid-touching Biden, is not running the country. It's a real sad day in America when we have to live like this. Worry about everything. What are we leaving our kids? And it's like, you can't tell these people anything. They won't listen. They don't care. They're just glad that President Trump is not there and they're undoing everything he did, good, bad, or indifferent. Look how fast Ford moved one of their productions to Mexico right away. Shut down the pipeline, 11,000 jobs. And as it goes down the pipeline, as the jobs shut down, as things wrap up, it's going to be like 47,000 jobs or something like that, gone in the first 100 days of the Biden administration. And I don't understand. The stock market's going up. The economy seems to be booming. Yeah, I guess everybody took their stimulus and they stimulated the economy. This booming economy that we're seeing right now will be ending soon. The next quarter, it's going to tank. And they're going to be crying about the third wave. They're importing the third wave at the southern border of the coronavirus. They are taking these people and they're sending them out into the country. And 1 in 4, 25% of those coming across the border are infected with COVID-19, and they are just shipping them around the country. They are predicting a third wave in the next 6 to 8 weeks because they're shipping these sick people all over the country. And it's hitting closer and closer to me. It's like little bombs are dropping right around me. It's at my church, and my good friends are getting it. Like, but I'm still skating by. I haven't got sick. Folks that are close to me have gotten sick, very close to me. Who knows if it's COVID? Who knows if it's not COVID? But I've been around folks who are very ill. I haven't been ill. There's something tricky going on with this pandemic, and I don't like it. I don't trust it, and I don't know. And then in other news, Nancy Pelosi, on the stacking of the court, said that she won't even bring the bill to the floor for a vote. It's dead on arrival. She don't agree with stacking the court. Folks, people are saying, oh, my God, Nancy Pelosi actually did something right. Nope, I believe there's an ulterior motive behind it somewhere where the court is stacked. It's going to be in a bill somewhere where people don't see it. They don't want it to be so obvious. You can't just come out and say we're going to stack the courts. You can't come out and say we're going to stack the courts. You got to say we're going to have this judicial referendum, and we're going to reform the court system and the judicial system because it's racially blah, 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 and we got to do this to fix the courts. And then in the back of the bill where nobody sees and nobody reads because the bill is 17,000 pages thick, right? They don't see that little provision in the bottom that pumps up the Supreme Court by 6 justices instead of 4. something like that. That's the sneaky. I don't trust Nancy Pelosi. I don't think she did one thing for this country that was right. There's ulterior motives to her saying we're not going to stack the courts. It's bullcrap. I do not trust Nancy Pelosi. There is something going on. She isn't just going, no. We're not stacking the court. That's bad. She's not. They're all screaming it. They all want it. They want D.C. to be a state. How could you take 10 square miles in the middle of Maryland and call it a state? 10 square miles. That's all D.C. is, 10 square miles. Or at least the original D.C., you know? We're really seeing some crazy times here, folks. And I don't know what the hell's going on. All I can do is try to give my son proper lessons on freedom, liberty, and the American way. Work hard. Be strong. You know, if you believe in something, stick to it. Don't back down. Never stand your ground. You don't know about the armor of God passage in the Bible. Just Google it. It's one of my favorites. You got the shield and the breastplate and the helmet and all the parts of the body and armor of God. So you can stand your ground. The real deal, folks. It is the armor of God. And again, in breaking news, the border is wide open. It really makes me mad. Folks, there's some new folks that are watching right now and listening and tuning in. And we've been covering the border since way before it was what's going on right now, when we thought it was a crisis during the Obama administration. We thought it was a crisis then. Look what happened to great patriots. Brian Terry, Casey Massey, and others are fine friend, Rusty Monsees, God rest his soul, when he called me, Rusty called me one night, right, folks, crying. This old man, 69 years old, you know, he had cancer and stuff, he was sick. And he calls me crying. I just watched the cartel pull a car up into the desert across the river from my property over in Mexico. And they douse the car in gasoline and set it on fire with the family of five inside the car. And then they shot the burning car. And there's nothing I can do. And then they looked at me and they drove off. This is what was happening during the Obama administration. Operation Fast and Furious, Eric Holder and Barack Obama, sending guns to the Mexican cartel so they could trace them and maybe hopefully find the cartel guys. They're going to use weapons of mass destruction, guns that kill. They couldn't send something like Tupperware. You know, let's have Tupperware parties with the Mexican cartels. No, they're going to send 50 caliber rifles that are in turn turned on the people. They're finding the guns at crime scenes. And Brian Terry gets killed with guns from Operation Fast and Furious. And what happens? Nothing. We've been covering the border since 2013 under Obama, when we thought that was a crisis. There is a crisis on the border right now. They were hollering about kids in cages, which really were inherited from Biden and Obama. Those were their cages. right? So what do the Democrats do? They put up these plexiglass wall frame things, and then they put a tent around it and tell the media they can't come in, right? Hey, Jexit, folks. Check out Michelle Terrace there, Jexit. That's the Jewish folks exiting the Democrat Party in droves. I don't know how the man lost. It's bullcrap, I don't believe. Crazy things going on in this country. I don't know, man. Holy moly. I saw the enthusiasm for President Trump. There's no way this man lost. I don't believe it for a minute. I could never, ever. You couldn't even find a Biden sign. You know, right before the election, a couple of Biden signs came out. And there's no way. Jolting Joe, kid touching O'Biden, got more votes than Obama. There's no way he got more votes than the hope and change savior, the Democratic Party. There is no way. Obama had charisma. Whether you liked him or not, the guy was charismatic. He spoke like a champ. He was smart. That guy was not dumb. Biden? You know, the I don't want my kids growing up in a racial jungle, Joe Biden. The guy who was against the desegregation, Biden. Not the guy who gave historically black colleges the most money to build their awesome universities and colleges that raise the education level of Americans across this country. Biden stopped it. I told you, good or bad or indifferent. If Trump did it, they're stopping it. It doesn't matter. I want to say hello to Bobby and Cayenne. What's happening? Gold Star parents, Angel parents, their child killed by an illegal immigrant. Not what we want in this country, right? Angel families. We don't want angel families. Because it ain't fair when people are dying at the hands of illegal immigrants who should not be here. And that people think they should. Well, if we don't watch our asses, we're going to lose our country. The media is corrupt. They are an arm of the Democrat Party. It's become obvious. Double standard and the hypocrisy is deep. It's deeper, as deep as the swamp. The swamp is deeper than we all ever could have imagined. And here we are. In the quicksand, in the swamp, sinking slowly. We got 2 years, folks. Less than 2 years now. The midterms are coming up. At the end of this summer, at the beginning of next winter, you know, when the winter kicks in, they're going to be starting to talk about Senate races and Congress and all of these other things that are up that are important. If you know teenagers, 17-year-olds that turned 18 before 2022, there you have it. 16, 17-year-old kids, get in their heads now. Vote red. Show them the way. It's up to us. They are obviously got the kooks and the hippies, the freaks and the deadheads and the people, you know, they got a lot of those folks. There's a lot of them, you know, half of them are running Congress. You see, like, dingy Harry. Is Harry Reid even there? I don't even know, man. He's been quiet. I'm glad he's quiet, but I know that evil son of a bitch is sinister and behind the scenes doing shit that ain't good. Dingy Harry, as our fine esteemed counterpart and broadcast, Rush Limbaugh nimbly called him. Miss Rush. It's good to hear that they're still putting his clips on. That guy was way smarter than anybody ever knew. He was a genius and an icon. But anyway, folks, I have to wrap it up here because my wife happens to be ill and I have to help her. Uh-oh, I just think I just turned off my speaker. I'm connected. I'm going to pull up. Yep, I turned off my speaker. I'm going to turn the speaker back on, and I'm going to play a song, and I'm going to bail. This Thursday at the Tampa Convention Center, if you don't have a boat, if you're in Davis Island area in Florida this Saturday, the city of Tampa canceled the 105-year tradition of Gasparilla. There'll be no parade, blah, 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 blah. Well, guess what? There's a Trumparilla this Saturday. Davis Island, downtown Tampa, go there. But you can go to Curtis Hickson Park. I think the boats will be going past over there. You go down to the convention center. I hear that's the spot to see it if you're not in a boat. If you have a boat, get down there and get in the Trumparilla invasion. It's a weekend event. It's a weekend event. It's taken over the whole weekend. It will be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Saturday will be the gigantic boat parade, the flotilla, the Trumparilla. They're coming, they're invading downtown Tampa. There'll be a pub crawl, there's bands, there's all kinds of things. You know? Trumparilla this Saturday in downtown Tampa. You want to get be part of that, folks, you got to be part of that. It's going to be fun stuff. I think, very possibly, Patriot Nation Radio will be going live from Trumparilla. I want to try going to see, you know? I got to work. Everybody's got to work, right? So Saturday I'll be working till noon, and then it's 15 miles from my job to Davis Island. The convention center, I'm not exactly positive. Sure, I checked out Davis Island. So that's like where I don't know if that's the kickoff point, but I want to be where the main crowd is. I want to walk around. I want to talk to the people, do a live feed, chit-chat, set up a table, and do a live radio broadcast right from the event. I'm going to try. That's not a guarantee. That's Saturday, somewhere around 3 o'clock, I'll go live, something like that, from Trumparilla, boat invasion of downtown Tampa in response to Mayor Jane Castor. We call her Jane Castro, like Fidel Castro. Canceled a 105-year tradition. So, that, folks, tune in next Thursday for sure, 8 o'clock. Otherwise, stick around. Maybe on Saturday, I will let you know. You'll find it. I'll post. I'll go live. It'll be amazing. But right now, we're going to rise for this Star-Spangled Banner. Because at Patriot Nation Radio, we rise for the flag. And we kneel for only one, our Lord and Savior Jesus. We kneel at the cross, and we rise for the flag. This is my good friend Dave Bray, DaveBrayUSA.com, Music on Mission Story and Television. He's got new songs out. We're going to be getting some of the new stuff on. Just haven't got around to putting it on. He's got a few songs out now that are brand new. But this is his version of the Star-Spangled Banner. Please rise. The flag is behind me. I'm going to put it on the screen so that we can all rise and do the Star-Spangled Banner together. The rock and roll version, Dave Bray. Thank you. Dave Bray. He's got a great music. He's doing good stuff. He's out there right now doing his thing. And don't forget, libertyrush.com. That's, social media without the libtarded rhetoric. Head on over to libertyrush.com. And our friend Paul at patriotshit.com. And all the other fun things. I got so many things I can't remember. Trumparilla Saturday. Good night. God bless you. God bless America.